All right, turn if you will in your Bibles this morning to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Verse 1 and following. Every commandment which I command you today, you must be very careful to observe that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. You should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord God chastens you. Therefore, you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brook of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you today for your blessings. Lord, we thank you for this church. We thank you, Lord, for blessing us this last year. And Lord, how you blessed us with souls being saved and salvations. Oh, Lord, we just thank you for that. Heavenly Father, watch over those that are sick and couldn't be here today. Lord, stir within our hearts that fires of revival, and God will give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. I want to talk about today walking in the wilderness way. I love history. I always enjoyed history, especially the study of our nation, how great a nation we live in. And when the pilgrims landed at Plymouth Rock, there they stood face to face with an unknown future and a bitter nation behind them, not knowing where they were going and what they were due. They cut their path into the wilderness there of America today. And before them, it was a land of plenty, I believe, but it was also a land of hardships. It was a land of sufferings. It was a land that they would be opposed by the country they came from, but all the time working their minds and their hearts on the possession of a victory that would give them the freedom that we have in America today. With faith in God and a determination to be free, they cut their path. And we have the freedom that we have to come and worship a true and living God right here in our nation. We're around the world in many nations, they are not able to serve God. But their story is not all that unique. If we look in the Bible, there's always been God's way. And it's God's way to walk in the wilderness, to walk in the way of testing and to achieve the things that God wants us to achieve. And like the children of God, God says every commandment, not just one or two, but God says every commandment which I give you, you must be careful to observe. Now, that didn't stop folks in the New Testament. All people say, well, preacher, that was the Old Testament. Well, Jesus said, I came to fulfill the law, not to do away with it. Those commandments are still alive and well for us to live by today. And we still must be careful to observe those commandments. If we are to live and multiply and go in and out and possess the possessions which God wants you and I to have, the victorious living, we must listen to God's word, we must obey God's word, and keep the commandments in our life. You see, a strong Christian character is not received, it is achieved. It's achieved through hard work. It's achieved by keeping God's law. And a great church, I believe First Baptist Church of Gun Barrel City, is one of God's great churches. As I look back over the 31 years that I've been here, and as I've looked back over the souls that have been touched, and I look back over the missions that we've given to, and the thousands of souls that were saved in Ethiopia and Zambia and Kenya and Haiti, those children that you give to, those children that you help spread the word of God to, a great church don't just spring up, boy. It rises up from the souls of men and women who obey God's word and are not afraid to pay the price it costs. And I'm not talking about budget here. I'm talking about it costs. It costs people's lives. It costs people's times. And we need to be reminded of the wilderness way. You see, God uses obstacles down through life. He uses barriers in our life to grow us to be the right kind of children that God wants us to be. You know, a family raising a child. I can tell you about my family. My father believed in the Board of Education. You got a good education. When he said, don't do something, you obeyed that command. If he told you to do something, you obeyed that command. He worked with us. He spanked us. He whipped us, whatever you want to call it. But he had a love behind that. And I knew that it was one thing in life that my earthly father loved me. And when he said, you know, this hurts me more than it hurts you, I thought he was just kidding. It always hurt me. But you know, I can see now as I look back over the years, it does hurt the father to have to chastise his children. And it hurts God, our heavenly Father, when he looks down upon his children and they are misbehaving. They're not keeping the commandments of God. It hurts. He doesn't love to just chasten us because it's fun. No, he does that because through those things, he corrects our lives and brings us to where we need to be. And we need to be reminded of the wilderness way and the obstacles that come our way. Now, I think of this question, will this church still be a lighthouse for Christ? Will this church be a lighthouse for the lost people in the years to come? With over 700, I believe Brother Bill said, churches closing their doors each year. Will this church still be a lighthouse for Christ? You see, the enemy is outside. The enemy is like a vulture circling, hovering above, waiting for us to die. Satan himself doesn't like this church. He doesn't like you. He doesn't like seeing souls saved. He doesn't like sending missionaries out. He doesn't like those things that Christ enjoys. You see, he's completely opposite of our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father loves us, but the devil, he doesn't love you. He's always trying to trip you up. He's always trying to destroy your testimony. He's always trying to bring your family down. The enemy is not always on the outside. Sometimes the enemies are on the inside. The enemies on the inside are those enemies, they're like termites eating away at the very foundation of our church today, of Christianity today. You see, we're living in a society that wants to be spoon-fed. They don't want to have to dig in the Bible. They don't want to have to hear what the Bible says. They want some kind of cheap Christianity or churchanity. I don't know if that's a word or not, but they don't want to have to do anything for it. And yet when they get to where they're going, they want to say, God, I've gone to church all my life. God, I've given my money. God, I've given my time. And the Bible says in many cases, he'll say, depart from me. I never knew you. You see, the Bible says we are to grow strong. And in our churches today all over America, we have neglected the doctrines of the Bible, so therefore we have weak churches. We tell people what they want to hear, and we have weak lives. You see, there's no way around being strong in the Lord. You've got to keep the commandments in which the Lord, it calls for a daily reading, a daily praying, a daily activity in recognizing that God is who he says he is. He is Lord. And you add all of this up and you get the wilderness way. You get a way in which God uses. But let me tell you something. In these 31 years that I've been here, God has always been guiding. Always been guiding. Brother Dub said something a while ago, and I'll repeat it. You go home. Don't just go home and throw the budget down on the table and turn on the television and say, well, I don't know what to do. You go home and you take that budget and you pray over it. And you ask God, God, show me what to do. Show me if I can give $5 more. You know, folks, that ain't very much. Now, I understand that we have people that are living on a very fixed income and Social Security and things like that, and they really struggle. But let me tell you something. It's been my over the years, one thing I've noticed, those people that are giving off of that are the ones that really support and give sacrificially. A little lady years ago came to me and said, preacher, I want you to do something. I said, what's that? She said, I want you to figure my tithe for me. Me and my husband, we live off of Social Security, and this is what we got. She laid it out there, and I looked at it, and I says, yes, ma'am. Is that all you make a year, a month to get by on? She said, yes, sir. And I was thinking, man, how in the world are you going to be able to tithe? She said, preacher, I want to be obedient to God. What is the tithe? Now, you're in always danger when you let the preacher figure your tithe. Let me tell you something. That's a trusting little lady. But I sat down and I showed her what her tithe would be. And she said, is that all? You know, from that day forward, they never missed giving the tithe are above that tithe. And you would have thought they were wealthy because they were happy in Jesus being obedient to what he asked them to do. Now, I believe as a church, we're like Moses. Moses was here leading the people. We're like the Israelites. We stand at the Red Sea today. We stand at the verge of the Red Sea. The enemy is outside around us like the Egyptians, and before us is the Red Sea. And the Lord says to us, "Behold the salvation of the Lord." I believe with all my heart, we cannot outgive God. I believe with all my heart that if in this church everyone would just give their tithe, we wouldn't have to fall short on any money. We wouldn't have to cut programs 10%. Folks, I don't like doing that. I believe God's got enough. Like I said, the good news is we've got enough. The bad news is I can't get it out of your pockets. But folks, honestly, pray about this. We stand at the verge of doing something great for God. You see, man can only do what man can. But man with God's leadership can only do what God can do, you see. And I believe with all my heart, God wants us to do great and mighty things. Man, he's taken this church and done things through this church. People have told us it was impossible to do, yet God did it. He has blessed us. He has given to us the things we need. And folks, there's a lot of things yet we need. I didn't have Brother Ed stand up. Man, he'd have blown your heads off. Now, you know, we got air conditioners that have to be replaced. You don't want to sit in a hot building, I don't imagine. But there's lights that need to be put out in the parking lot. There's remodeling things and doing some things around here. Always taking money. But I believe with all my heart, God knows our needs and he will meet those needs. You see, Israel had to be totally dependent upon God. And I believe we as a church have to be totally dependent upon God. He said, "Every mouthful of food I have provided. Every drop of water I have provided. Every shelter from the sun I have provided. Even your clothes have not worn out in 40 years. Man, yes, we face impossible obstacles in life. We stand on the verge of defeat every single day. And yet the Bible says, God says in Jeremiah 33:3, call to me. That means he says, pray to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you know not of. I believe with all my heart, God's wanting his people to call. Oh, what an evening we must call and pray and say, God, what do you want me to do in my life? You see, Paul said, in my weakness, I am strong in Christ Jesus. With God, we can do everything. But without God, we can do nothing. Our faith in God, we can do everything. I love the book of Hebrews. I'll be coming out of Hebrews tonight in our message. Praise God, when he comes, the blind see. When he comes, the deaf hear. When he comes, the dead men come to life. You see, lives are changed when God comes into our heart. Have you ever driven down a road and accidentally crossed over that center line? Maybe you was distracted a moment and you crossed over the center line. Let me tell you something, that could be very dangerous. Just a moment of distraction, and we cross over, 1 second of carelessness could mean death. 1 second of carelessness could mean sorrow in a family or a hurt. You see, when we cross over that line, there's danger there. But you know what? Have you ever thought about when you stay on your side of the line, every time a car passes you, you're only about 3 feet or four from danger, from heartache, from death. Just about that far. And yet, when we're on our side of the line, we feel very safe, don't we? We hardly even think about it. Just going down the road, 70, passing car after car coming our way, 3 foot, 4 foot away from each other. Just one crossing over could mean death. You know, in life, it's the same way. God sets the line. Think about it. In life, God sets the line. God holds the wheel of our life, and He wants us to put our total dependence upon Him. He says, "Keep my commandments, and you shall live. Keep my commandments, and you shall grow strong." So we need total dependence upon Him today. Total dependence as an individual. Total dependence as a church. And then He says in verses 5 through 6, He says, "You should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you." That is obedience. Not only does He want total dependence in our life upon Him, He wants total obedience. I said last Sunday night, trials come our way. You're either in a trial, coming out of a trial, or you're fixing to face a trial in life. But trials are there to make us grow spiritually. Trials are there. The Bible says God put them through these experiences to strengthen their faith. I love that old hymn we learned years ago, "Trust and obey, for there's no other way. To be happy in Jesus, we must trust and obey." And when we trust God in His ways, we'll see the miracles of God in our church. We'll see the miracles of God in our lives. I love Hebrews. I love Hebrews chapter 11, one of my favorite passages of Scripture. It gives us a heavenly hope. You see, those in Hebrews, it says, by faith, called out a man's name or a lady's name all the way through. By faith. The Bible says, whatever is not of faith is sin. The just shall live by faith. We have to have total obedience upon our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the Bible says they saw the invisible things of God. They were looking for a city, but not an earthly city. They were looking for that heavenly home. Folks, our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And then I come to a close in verse 7 through 10. You see, He will deliver us. You see, Moses is closing with a picture of the promised land as they come to the promised land. A picture of the end results of all their efforts. I read a sign one time that summed up all the troubled days that we have in 4 words. It simply said, "This too shall pass." This too shall pass. And you know what I thought about? The wilderness way has an end. The wilderness way has an end. For 40 years they wandered in the wilderness till God's purging work was done. No matter where we're walking, whether we have trials, whether it's dark in our life right now, or whether it's light of the day, no matter, there's an end to the way. God says to his people, I will deliver you. Jesus Christ is the end of a life that is lived for God. Oh, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. In life, yes, the troubled times are here. The wilderness is necessary for our growth, but it's only temporary. In Deuteronomy 3, 27, or 33, 27, it says, the eternal God is your dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Oh, I thought about it, and I said, we are walking in the wilderness way. Through the years, we have walked with God, step by step. We don't have to know what's out there in the future. All you have to know is that you're putting your faith in God today. You live up to the light that God has shown you today. You know, my car has great headlights on it. But you know what? It only shines out there so far, and that's all I can see. But you know what? I'm not afraid of the road ahead. Why? Because as I get there, the light is always leading me. Jesus Christ says, I am the light. Follow me. He'll always lead us in the right path. If you're walking in the wilderness today, if the trials of life are upon you today, you're not alone. You're not alone. God is there. Just as he was with the children of Israel in the wilderness for 40 years, God is there. Dr. Charles Stanley said a lady came in to his office and said, Brother Charles, she said, I've been through some great suffering. She had lost her husband to cancer. She had lost a child to cancer. And she sat in front of his desk and she said, you know what? This is what I've learned in all my trials. And she pulled out a picture, and it was the picture of Daniel in the lion's den. And she said, Brother Charles, what do you see in this picture? Charles Stanley, a great man of God, I believe, looked at the picture of Daniel in the lion's den, and he said, I see a dark pit. A dark pit. She says, you're right. There is a dark pit. He said, I see a beam of light shining down from above on Daniel. She says, you're right. God is always there in the dark pits of our life. And he said, you know, I also see hungry lions waiting to devour Daniel. And she says, you're right. And I see Daniel, a man of God, on his knees. She said, Brother Charles, you're right. What else do you see? And he said, I don't believe I see anything else. She's led one thing you've left out. And he says, what's that? She said, Daniel is not looking at the lions. He's looking at Jesus. And he said, sure enough, he was looking up to Jesus. Folks, we walk many times in our life through the wilderness way. Some of our people today, Miss Chris has lost her husband this Friday. Brother Jim, a deacon here, has been here many years. A man of faith, a man of kindness, a big gentle giant. He was a tall, big man. But you know what? He loved the Lord. He didn't feel like coming many times, but he loved the Lord. He went to be with the Lord Friday. We have Miss Shirley. She's in the hospital today with Andy. Andy is really bad. He's been there since July. She hasn't left his side. She's been sleeping in the hospital for 3 months. She's not in good shape herself, but she loves the Lord. She's going through a wilderness experience. Prayed with her last night and told her I'd pray for her. You know, she said sometimes it's better if we just go ahead and go on. The ultimate healing. I see our people every week or so when we can in the nursing homes. I hear your prayers for cancer that you may have right now in your life. Some of our people are really going through the wilderness way. The question is not how you're walking, but where are you looking today? Are you looking up to Jesus Christ? Do you have your eyes focused on Him? Some of you have never trusted Him as Lord and Savior. You don't really understand the happiness that we have as Christians, that we can go through the wilderness way and still praise God. Oh, not that it's always pleasant, but we have a hope, a blessed hope, that when this last breath is drawn here, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You don't have that. But you know what? God loves you. And He said, I sent my Son to die on the cross for you. That this morning, if you would just say, Lord, I realize I'm a sinner. And I realize that I don't know You, but I want to trust You as my Lord and Savior. I want to give my life to You. If you just simply ask Him to, He would come into your heart right now. And then all I'd ask you to do is come down to the front and just say, Preacher, I've invited Christ into my life. I want Him to be Lord of my life. Turn your life around and start living for God. Get involved in the church and Bible study. Oh, what a blessing you'd have. You need to do that. For the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of that sin is death, but the gift of God, which His Son Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to pay the price, is eternal life. I don't know about you, but when I die, I'm going to be with Jesus. Not because I'm perfect. Oh, man, I've messed up this week even. I probably messed up this morning even. But you know what? The blood of Jesus Christ covers my life. I've done what He's asked me to do. I've given Him my life. For better or worse, He is my guide. He's my guide. I'm not looking at what I've got to walk through tomorrow. I'm going to be looking to God. I'm not worried about the budget. It's God's church. And we're His people. If we'll just do what He asks us to do, He'll take care of us. I thought maybe I haven't been doing what God's asked me to do. And I said, Lord, if I haven't been doing what You've asked me to do, show me. Show me. Some of you are here this morning and maybe you come here looking for a church home. Well, this is not the usual Sunday morning service. We don't usually have a business meeting every Sunday morning or pass out that, but I wanted to do that to let our people know where we stand on missions and where we stand on the budget, where we stand. But normally, well, let me just tell you this. This is God's church. It's one of the best churches in the world. I can tell you that with surety. If you want a church that believes the Word of God, if you want someone to teach your children, to disciple your children, and disciple you, you can get in a Bible study class and bring your children. I guarantee you, they will know and learn the Word of God in this church. I'm not a feel-good church. I'm not a feel-good preacher. I'm a Christian preacher that preaches the Word of God. I'll tell you the truth no matter how it hurts. That's what we need. That's what we need. That's what's lacking in our country today. We don't have people to stand up and tell the truth. If you're looking for a church home, and this is where God's led you, would you come? I'll be glad to share with you how you can join. Let us close with a word of prayer. Then we'll have an invitation. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much today for your word. We thank you, Lord, for all that you have blessed us with. And right now, Lord, I thank you in advance for what you're going to do this next year. The lives that are going to be changed. We give you praise. For it's in Christ's name we ask these things. Amen.